the Crabtree and Tlaib suspensions.
Yeah.
The appeals were heard.
Yes, they were.
And they won their appeals to a certain degree. The suspensions were knocked down to one game. I still don't like it because they were out for an entire game already for this. Yeah. A full game. You're going to suspend them for another game on top of this. This is far too much. And I really don't know. I guess the question in all of this is, will this deter players from getting that emotional and letting it out in that way in the future? And my answer would be no, because these two guys were so, and maybe they will, because this is multiple times that they've fought. Maybe they've finally gotten it out. But like, think about this. It was brewing. It was ready to erupt again. The chain thing happened one more time. Like, in that moment where you're that hot, where your helmet's off and you're punching a guy in his helmet, you're ripping chains off, you're going after each other, you're not thinking like, man, I'm going to be suspended for a couple of games here. Like, you're not thinking that. You're just fighting.
No, when you're in the heat of the moment, that's the last thing on your mind. But Michael Crabtree, he has a different version of events, and he told Pro Football Talk that, I'm just playing ball, man. ESPN said I taped the chain to myself before the game because I was worried about it. I didn't. I don't care about no chains. I'm just playing ball, man. Not worried about nothing. I don't like the whole thing got flipped and I'm the bad guy. He took my chain off and I blocked him to the whistle. Yeah, I blocked him to the ground, but I didn't jump on him. They jumped on me. It was 7-1.
Not fair.
Not fair at all.
Not fair whatsoever.
He didn't tape his chain. Quit putting that out there, man. It's just sorry as people doing sorry journalism.
Well, I was Adam Schefter who said he taped the chain.
Boy, he lied. He was wrong. He didn't tape the chain. I ain't worried about no chain, man.
Or Crabtree's lying about it.
I ain't worried about no chain, man.
That was embarrassing.
You hear me? You ain't heard me?
I ain't heard you. I'm sorry.
Okay. Ain't worried about no chain, man.
Well, I done did heard you. But it didn't make sense to me.
I tried to told you.
Okay.
But y'all ain't heard me.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Both those teams, I think, are going nowhere. So if any one of the two could turn it around, it would maybe be the Raiders. But
yes,
you're not going to have Crabtree, and you may not have Cooper this week either. Not that either one of them been great this season.
What did you think of that hit? It was Damian Stewart. I didn't think it was targeting.
You know, I have to watch it again. I thought it
was a vicious hit, but I didn't think it was targeting. I didn't think it was a dirty hit. And Jack Del Rio, head coach of the Raiders,
and
initially
changed his tune on it, right?
Yeah, initially he said he thought it was a vicious, dangerous hit. Then he changed his tune. And, good hit. It was a good hit.
Yeah.
Not for Cooper, but for Stewart, very good hit.
Well, if Del Rio's saying it and it's
right.
His player.
Yeah.
Don't you just
well,
have
he's
to...
probably upset with Coop because Coop's had the dropsy, so maybe he's not going to take his side.
I don't
side.
Know how you can be as bad as he's been this year. And one good game, basically, the entire season.
It's perplexing, the fact that he's fallen off as much as he has.
I almost don't want to watch this again.
The hit? Why not?
Because I don't want to get in a fight with you.
Why are you going to get in a fight with me?
Well, because
we don't fight.
All right, here we go.
You're going to agree with me. It's not a dirty hit. Hard, vicious hit, but
It's actually not. No.
Boom, see?
It's not.
There
well, it's just the way that, and he didn't go in with his head. He knew, and then
he turned to the side.
Cooper went down, and that's tough to.
Yeah.
And he turned to the side.
He got more body than he did actually hit.
It was just unfortunate.
Yeah.
The way
just
the,
unfortunate.
Their bodies came together in that way.
Keep your body separate.
Mikey B's out to get you this morning for whatever reason.
What'd I do now?
I don't know why, but he puts this thing on the rundown. I guess it was one of the days I was filling in next door, and I wasn't here. And he said that you said that Jimmy Garoppolo was never going to start for the 49ers this year.
Why would I make that assumption?
I don't know. That's what he's saying. It's what he's telling me.
Can we put it in context?
The offensive line is so bad, they will not put him out there because they're going to protect their prize asset.
Maybe I said Jimmy Garoppolo wouldn't want to be out there behind that offensive line. You sure you didn't misconstrue my statement?
I'm pretty sure you said the 49ers organization.
Pretty sure?
Yeah.
Or 100% sure?
I'm 100% sure.
Oh, you're wrong. I would never make some type of comment like that. It wouldn't trade it for the guy.
Did you go and find the audio of it?
I did not. Thank you.
Well, then
no empirical evidence.
How are you going to make this claim of what Brian said?
Because I thought Brian would remember.
You know what assume stands for?
I do not.
Yeah, well. Tell him, Pete.
I just did.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. Why are you trying to get Brian this morning? Why are you trying to attack him?
I thought it would be a good talking point for you guys. He said that he wouldn't play this year with the line, and now he's in, and there you go. Do your thing.
Do your
thing. Do what makes you guys you.
Michael Buffchaglia.
That's twice today. Yeah.
Well, I think they needed to see what they had. And there was a thought that they were just going to franchise him and have him for a year next year and then play him next year and then still draft a guy if they wanted to draft a quarterback and then make that decision from there. But I thought that that was foolish because then what if you end up, for hype, argument's sake, you draft, and I think Darnold should probably stay, but let's say you draft Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
You're the 49ers, and you haven't seen Garoppolo play, and you got him on the franchise tag, and then Garoppolo goes out, and he's phenomenal. Now you're sitting there with Sam Darnold as your backup quarterback, and what do
you do? That's trade bait. Remember when the Cowboys had Troy Aikman, and Jimmy Johnson went and drafted a quarterback he had in Miami and Steve Walsh? Everyone knew. Cowboys fans knew Steve Walsh wasn't going to stay there with the Cowboys. He was trade bait, and he was subsequently traded.
I guess. But wouldn't you rather, though, know that you had your quarterback and then use that top pick on another player that's going to help you at a different position?
If you know you have your quarterback and you can go out and get a quarterback that a lot of other people want and you can use that to amass more picks, that's a good play as well.
Okay. I could see them doing it both ways. I would rather, though, put Garoppolo out there like they're doing, get an evaluation on him.
He was great. 2 for 2.
Right.
Wow.
And a touchdown.
Looked wonderful.
Let's not forget about that.
And it wasn't an easy throw.
And a touchdown.
Yeah.
So
he was smooth and cool and calm.
And then you have a better idea going into next year.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's the man. He's signed to a big deal. And then that's that. As opposed to doing the franchise Kirk Cousins situation over and over and over again. And the 49ers are in a nice spot for being as bad as they are, if that makes any sense. They're going to have a choice probably of one of these quarterbacks if all of them come out. They've got Garoppolo there they could check out. They ended up making a deal that wasn't as expensive as originally thought with Garoppolo. They've got a young GM and young head coach that are well-respected that seem to be handling these things. They got young players that are playing their asses off in these games, even though they're losing. They're playing really, really hard. So this is a rebuild the right way, what the 49ers are doing right now. I really do think that they've got a handle on getting themselves in a position to compete in a couple of years.
Well, I would agree. And even though John Lynch doesn't have a ton, if none, experience as a GM, of all the reports as we sit here now, a team that's won one ball game are pretty good. He's getting positive grades, and as is his head coach, Kyle Shanahan, hook 'em horns. So this year will not count. You know, you won't be really graded and until next season and see how they progress as an organization, what type of draft picks they make, how they handle the offseason, free agency, and the draft. And then what type of product do you put on the field next season? That's when you'll really start to see this team scrutinized, critiqued. And so you're still in the honeymoon phase.
Let's talk some college football head coaches we didn't get to before.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting one, former NFL head coach Herm Edwards, who was going to interview for the Arizona State job. Now, Ray Anderson is the AD out there. Ray Anderson used to work for the NFL in the commissioner's office.
Mm-hmm.
Herm Edwards, as a college football head coach, after not doing it for a very, very long time, to me is a curious choice if they end up hiring him. Now, he's truly a passionate guy, truly a good motivator, but in today's climate of big-time competitive college football, which is what he's stepping into, do you believe that Herm Edwards is the person that would be able to bring that program farther than Todd Graham did?
I can't honestly say yes. I can't. because he hasn't been in the, at the collegiate level for a long, long time. And I know Lovie Smith got a job, and we were taken aback somewhat when Illinois pegged him to be their new head coach. And they haven't done a damn thing since he took over, but he's only 2 years into this experiment, and he's probably going to definitely get one more year, and we'll see how they progress as a squad there in Champaign. And we know this business is all about relationships. We're all aware of the good old boy network, and you have what you have. In college football, and I shared this stat with our boss the other day, you have FCS Division II and FBS level, over 300 collegiate jobs there in football. And as far as diversity, only 21 head coaches of color. That's it. That is paltry. That's horrible. It's terrible. Now, Ray Anderson may have had a relationship with Herm Edwards, and that's how these things work. That's how life works. Life is about relationships. Mm. It's about networking. It's about the people you know and the experiences you have with those folks. So that being said, maybe Ray Anderson, who contradicted himself so many different ways the other day when he was discussing the firing of Todd Graham. But having worked in the NFL, I'm sure he has a prior relationship with Herm Edwards, and he likes what he's seen from Herm Edwards. And additionally, Herm Edwards travels annually to all these different campuses. They bring him in to talk to their young folks. And I've seen him at Alabama. I've seen him talk to other programs. And so they love what he brings to the table, and his personality lends itself to being – something that is refreshing to these kids in these locker rooms. And he brings discipline. That's the type of coach he always was. He wasn't terribly successful at the end of his career as an NFL head coach, but they like what he brings to the table as a man and someone who's going to hold players accountable.
Yeah, to me, he strikes me as more of a motivational speaker than anything else at this point in his career. I'm not saying that he couldn't coach somewhere and do a good job, and maybe he would, but he's older now, right? I mean, he's been out of the game for a long time. And
maybe 59, 60?
63. So he's 63.
63, okay.
And he hasn't coached since what? What was the last time? It was 2008. So we're talking about going on a decade now.
Mm-hmm. And Ray Anderson also said this during his press conference after the firing of Todd Graham, which was interesting. He said he hoped that the new head coach would come in and keep their offensive coordinator, Bill Napier, and their defensive coordinator, Phil Bennett.
Right. So you know what that's about.
Yeah. So if you have...
Which is the biggest load of crap in the world, because what that is they paid out their nose the buyout for Todd Graham, and they'd have to buy out the coordinators, and they don't want to spend the cash on that because they know they have to hire a new coach. So they're trying to beg the new head coach to keep the coordinators so they don't have to buy out the contracts of them, too.
And the buyout for Graham, 12.5, no offset language in that one either. And speaking of buyouts, Jim McElwain, the former Florida coach, just agreed to 7.5 of his deal in the buyout. Anderson wants the new head coach to keep these guys, the coordinators. And that would help Herm Edwards, someone who has not been on a college sideline for a long, long time, get acclimated and ramped up as far as being the new head coach. So we'll see where this goes. But an interesting mix here if you've got Herm Edwards, who hasn't been on a college sideline for a long, long time, now being interviewed for the ASU job. And that's a good job. That's a good program. That could be a heck of a program. They love their football there in Arizona, and that could be a huge job, and the resources that they would allocate towards this program, they're there.
Yeah, I think that losing Norvell, that was like his right-hand man there for a long time. That was a big blow to Todd Graham.
Mm-hmm.
Because really showed you, we used to call him Fraud Graham back in the day, and it really shows you that's what he is. I mean, he lost the brains behind his operation. He fell apart.
Well, a lot of coaches, that occurs when they lose some top-notch assistants, and Todd Graham made his name as a defensive coordinator. He was with Rich Rod at West Virginia. But then
he sold the fast offense stuff, though. That was his thing. That was his big pitch to everybody, everywhere he went. Yeah, he was a defensive guy, but it was always about, I remember in the press conferences, speed, speed, speed. We're going to go in the left lane, put the hammer down.
Well, that's what he ran with Rich Rod at West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And so he still wanted to use that type of offense wherever he went. And you lose coordinators, you lose recruits, and he went the JC route here of late to try to rebuild that Arizona State roster.
I'm starving. Anybody want breakfast?
I am starving.
Yeah, I knew you would.
But I can't.
You can't eat breakfast?
No, I'm not.
No?
I am so disgustingly fat. I ate so much yesterday at television yesterday afternoon.
Oh, okay. I say the reason why I'm hungry is I finally had a good day eating yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Finally.
What'd you eat?
For dinner, I had a grilled chicken Caesar salad.
Mm.
Yeah.
I ate horribly yesterday because our buddy, Marinick, his wife, she went to Auburn. She was watching the program Saturday, and I was the only one that picked Auburn to win.
Oh, okay.
So she made me brownies.
Oh, did she?
I shared some with the folks here. And then I took the lion's share of them home, and I've been devouring them the last two nights.
Wait, so you shared some with the folks here? Where? I didn't see a brownie.
You were out there when I was offering them there.
No, I was not.
Yes, you were.
Bull crap, I was not.
From the Mikey B, Bogush, everyone.
This was on Monday.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I wasn't here on Monday.
You were not here when I was offering the brownies to everyone.
You said yesterday.
I misspoke.
All right.
You were not here when I was offering the brownies to everyone on Monday, and they were so delicious.
Did Pete get offered a brownie on Monday?
He did not get offered a brownie.
He did not. He wasn't out there.
Okay, you couldn't walk in there and offer him a brownie?
Apparently, I couldn't.
All right. Story's changed.
Yeah.
Everybody got an offer to brownie to only a select few.
Well, I was out there, and I offered the brownies, then I had to go.
Why don't you save one, a little tin foil?
I'll bring them back to you. Will you finish them all for me? Because I need to get rid of them. I seriously contemplated throwing them in the trash last night. I said, why am I doing this to myself?
Really? Because you just kept pounding them. How many were there if you're offering
tons?
How many did you make?
There are at least 12 to 15.
Okay. Yeah, I could finish those off.
Oh, man.
No problem.
I'm bringing them to you.
Okay, let's go. I don't even care anymore. I feel like
how Zach looks.
Zach, so production feel, guy, Zach.
That's how my gut feels right now.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Zach.
What?
No, he's just...
How about him barging in here yesterday?
He's just the butt of all jokes, and he should be.
Yeah.
He's just one of those guys you don't feel bad making fun of him because he's just so obnoxious.
I think he revels in it, too, now.
Oh, he does.
Yeah.
There's without a doubt, he likes being a pest.
Mm-hmm.
He enjoys that part of himself. Mm-hmm. He likes to annoy people.
Well, he knows who he is.
He certainly does.
So embrace it.
That's right. We're coming right back.
Give us a call right now. 855-212-4CBS.
Bogush is here.
Hi, Bogush.
There's a couple of things we haven't gotten to yet.
A whole bunch of things.
We got so sucked into the college football stuff, we might even go back to that.
That's crazy. You got guys getting knocked out and kickers being punched.
I know. It's so crazy. We're so crazy and unpredictable. You have no idea what's going to come next.
Yeah.
But Bogush, I'll give Bogush a chance. We didn't get a chance to talk about it last time. It was at Fourier. What part of the Eli argument or points that I made did you disagree with the most?
Well, my simple mind is having a tough time understanding you shifting this onto Eli's decision to not play.
Well, so let me just respond to that very quickly. So my big thing with that was, every headline and everything you hear is Eli benched for Geno Smith.
Yeah.
And that's not the way it went. The way it went was Eli's going to start these games. We're going to work these guys in over the remaining schedule in the second half of these games to see what we have to better prepare us for the future. That's not a benching. A benching to me is when you deliberately sit down a guy because you don't think he's good enough to be your starting quarterback and put in the guy who's on the bench because you think he's going to do a better job.
Right. But they are making a value judgment of Eli because they want to know what they have after him because they don't want him anymore. So they are making a value judgment of him, and they were going to half bench him. And he said, I don't want to be half benched. I might as well be full benched. So I don't.
I still don't think it's a benching.
I don't think his you know, last little tweak to the plan doesn't change anything. They were taking him off the field for somebody else, and I don't have a problem with.
Well, they
Davis.
Were taking him off the field to see what they had,
right?
Not
which is
for. I mean, it's
which
really
is why Geno Smith's involvement in this is where I think most Giant anger comes from. Not at Geno, but that Geno's involved. Giant fans would have been able to process this better if this was just about Davis Webb playing, because everybody expects him to play, and most people think he should play going into next offseason. But when you're to play Geno Smith Sunday in Oakland or Sunday anywhere makes zero sense.
So why have him on the roster if you're a Giants fan? You don't even want Geno on the roster.
Well, because there's different arguments. If you're talking about if the Giants right now were 8-6 and battling for a wild card spot, you'd have to have Geno there in case Eli got hurt, because you'd have to think right now in this moment Geno could win a game for you more than Davis Webb could. So that's why he's on the roster. But if we're now thinking about 2018, that has nothing to do with Geno Smith.
Well, what really is the harm, though? The true harm I'm talking about in playing Geno a game.
The true harm. Well, what's the benefit of playing Geno Smith?
Well, the benefit is it's not like he's had years and years and years in the NFL as a starting quarterback. He's been there. I haven't seen him in practice at all. I don't know how he's matured as a player on and off the field. Maybe, just maybe, because you don't know, he gets inserted in there and there's something that comes out that allowed him to be a first round draft choice at one point, and you say, man, Geno's really, really good. We could maybe use him in our transition phase because now Eli's not going to be around, or there's so much crap quarterback play out there in the league. Geno showcases himself in a way that maybe we can get a sixth or seventh round draft choice for him because he played above his head and surprised some people, and he's still relatively young. I mean, to me, there's more of a benefit in throwing him out there than there is continuing to play Eli Manning if you're thinking about it from purely a football standpoint.
Well, I guess anything is possible the way he plays, but I can't imagine he's going to do anything the way he has shown himself to play. And I, at times, was a Geno Smith defender when he was in the middle of all that crap with the Jets. But I just can't imagine he's going to walk into this team in this situation and do anything that changes his value around the NFL.
Well, that's what's great about this is you don't have to imagine it. You're going to see. And the Giants are in a situation now where they can see and they can find out. And you very well may be right, but in a 2-9 season where you're going nowhere, this is what you do.
You don't do that to guys who've won two Super Bowls with your organization. I don't recall this happening unless you're going to move on from that particular player.
Well, they're going to now.
Fine.
Yeah.
But you're not moving on to him to Geno Smith. And this is the thought process of outsiders is that they don't want Davis Webb. They didn't want Davis Webb to be the first guy that came in for Eli, and they don't want him playing in Oakland as if this is the old silver and black defense. They can't pick off a pass. They don't sack anybody. So if this is just Geno Smith killing a week until Davis Webb plays next Sunday, then that makes even less sense.
Thank you. Even less sense.
So Eli play this weekend one more time.
But just before, you were talking about how I got you on the side of giving Geno Smith a look because it's not like...
I'm fine with giving him a look, but I also realize that I don't care if it's Geno Smith or anyone else. Basically what you're saying is, Eli, you're done here. And I'm saying you're disrespecting someone who has been so loyal to this organization, has gone about everything the right way, and just say we're moving on from you.
But okay, and they sort of are, but I also think that their original plan, and this is why I go back to the Eli decision to not start at all, their original plan, if it was a different head coach and they had put one of these guys in, especially if it was Davis Webb, in the fourth quarter of a game that was out of hand, nobody would have said boo about it. I remember taking phone calls next door about how come Davis Webb isn't thrown in there in the fourth quarter of one of these games where they got blown out.
That's a scenario.
But
yeah,
that's what they wanted to do.
Right.
That's what they were planning to do, and Eli came in and said no.
No, they didn't say if this is the scenario, if this is what's transpiring in the game, if you're behind by 20, we're going to take you out.
They just
said we're going to go in the game. I mean, we want you to know going into the ball game that we're pulling you in the second half.
At some point, they have to see these guys and have to decide what they are.
We'll see them in practice.
Well, you can't. You know the difference. Don't even try to mess around with that. You got
you
it at some
do
point.
Don't do that to a legend. You respect the legend.
Oh, here we go. Now he's a legend.
He is a legend.
He's a Giants
right,
legend.
Giants fan?
Yeah. But they didn't. If they had just didn't have a conversation with him about it and just sat him down and flat out said, you're not good enough to win games for us. You're not good enough to be our quarterback right now. I think that's different than the plan of this is all stems from one thing, the future. What are we going to do in the future? We're in an information gathering phase right now, and if that means that Eli Manning's not going to play, then that means he's not going to play. So, I don't know. I just think that The main thing that annoyed me was Eli being benched for Geno Smith. That's not the way it went down. It's more nuanced than that. And also this idea that the Giants are blaming their season on Eli Manning. At no point are they doing that. They're not saying it's his fault that they're 2-9. And the people that said that, I think, and Bogus isn't one of those, but the people that say that, I think, were the, had the simple-minded
well,
takes
on it.
But
the only thing that makes sense of that argument is that this is embarrassing for Eli Manning, and no other Giant has been publicly embarrassed by the team. They didn't, I mean, sure, they suspended.
And it's been the first time.
They suspended DRC and Janoris Jenkins, but that's not the same thing as going, we're going to put some scrub, we're not going to put, you know, R.W. McQuarters in behind you for a week. They didn't send anybody down.
It's the second time they've disrespected Eli. Remember a few weeks back, they dropped him in the grease, blaming things on him. Ben McAdoo did.
Well, I think that hurt this whole thing, and everybody believes it's a McAdoo decision, and people are screaming about McAdoo. You cannot tell me that a conversation was not had with John Mara about this, that he had to have been involved
in
this.
I can't imagine that Ben McAdoo's that bad at being alive.
So it just seems like it was misdirected anger yesterday was my big point. Is that, oh, it's all on McAdoo, and what a clown, what an idiot doing this, and he's got no pulse on anything. Ben McAdoo, after this season, is going to go rogue and make that decision about his quarterbacks on his own?
This is probably his penance for being a bad head coach that John Mara's making him take this crap.
Yeah, probably, right, because he was nowhere to be found. He was at some owners' meetings yesterday. He was nowhere to be found yesterday, so I do tend to agree with that.
The owners' meeting was on the schedule.
Yes, it certainly was. I do think Eli deserves better, but I think what's more important than anything in all of this is to figure out what the best route of the future is.
Right, and that doesn't include Geno Smith, which I think is where a lot of people's
maybe,
problems come
probably
from.
Not, but you're not going to know unless you play the guy a little bit. And I'm not saying he's going to play well. But you really don't know. And you learn more about what you've got in the future by playing Geno Smith even a game or a quarter or two quarters.
Wait till the last game of the season.
Then you're never going to see Davis Webb, though.
Wait till the last two games of the season.
So you give Geno one and Davis
yes.
another? Yes. All right. Well, whatever. I did feel a little bit bad for Eli just because it seemed like he knew that his Giants career was ending. And if the Giants think they can bring back after this experiment, bring back Eli next year, there's just no way. That is now gone. Because I bet you, and I have no information on this, or I haven't seen it yet or read it yet, but I bet you that their original plan was to play those guys in the second half of these games, see what they had, and then still keep Eli maybe next year to start, and then have that plan behind him, a succession plan, and it would have felt better to them to do that. But now, the way this
went
down,
do
he
your
has
plan.
To go.
Yeah, you do. You take your plan and you shove it. I'm out of here. Denver, Jacksonville, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Let's make the deal now. Why even wait till the season's over? Let's
do it
now.
Do you think he wouldn't go to Denver because his brother did the same thing?
Probably opt for Coughlin in Jacksonville.
Yeah,
I don't know. And Marrone was on the Giants staff before he went to Syracuse, am I correct?
Yeah,
Doug Marrone?
I think so. I think they've worked together in the past, yeah.
Going to Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting.
They disrespected the man. Just own up to it.
No, I'm not saying that. No, I'm way beyond that. No. I made
where are you now?
No, I'm thinking about
what's a place we can't go to.
Oh, yeah.
Our brains don't work on that level.
Yeah,
exactly.
we don't reside
we're
in that.
We're up here, you know, face value
he's
stuff.
He's up that rarefied air up there. Yeah.
Deep dive.
It's kind of like Kobe Bryant. Not saying they're the same player, obviously, but they kept Kobe around for that year. It was a disaster. The Lakers took two steps back, and they're still paying for it.
Yeah, there is. I did think about that as well. It's like there's no real great end to this unless you're going to give them that contract of, you know, the, hey, we love you contract and keep them around for a while.
And according to your favorite website, Brian, Wikipedia, Marrone not with the Giants.
Does he have a nickname? Doug Moe. All right, Bogus. Do what you're here to do.
Well, there is a side note to all of this. Geno Smith will be...
I hate you,
and this
Mike
is coming off a very sarcastic toss to Geno sound. But Geno's actually the first African-American quarterback to start for
you
the Giants.
You say black, dude? Ain't nobody been to no damn Africa.
I don't know what the rules are.
I just gave you the rules.
Every other franchise.
Can you use a slur?
Wait, hold on.
He's the first
Yeah, go for it.
Brian's out holding a bat.
Please use it.
You said you didn't know the rules.
Well, now you do.
Okay, all right.
Here are the rules.
Please. Back to you, Greg.
I've been needing to vent.
And hockey.
But there's also no black people.
We got one or two.
Mm.
So he's the first what?
He's the first quarterback.
He's the first quarterback.
I got it. First non-white. How's that?
There you go.
I don't know if that's true. Non-Caucasian? I don't know if that's true.
Okay. I mean, any Yelverton Abraham, but, you know, who just left us, I think he has some color.
Pete, any Hispanic quarterbacks for the Giants that you know of?
No. I don't know.
He would know.
He's
forgotten all about the Hispanic that's in him.
Not true.
Yeah, it is true. Not true.
You should have answered in Spanish, Pete. That would have shut him up.
Yeah, right.
All right. So the first
what now?
First black quarterback.
We're moving on to Jimmy Garoppolo.
No, I want to hear this stat.
No.
He's the
first black quarterback to start a game for the Giants. Every other franchise has had one before. They're the last franchise to start a black quarterback.
Get out of here.
Because if Eli wouldn't leave for 14 years.
Don't blame it on Eli. But he did play at Ole Miss, so maybe he has some.
All right, so Jimmy Garoppolo getting the nod for the Niners in Chicago this weekend. You always make it. We started, and you go to a whole other level and take us off the
hook. Take it. You can't joke about color.
Clemson, Wisconsin, Auburn.
Ain't no funny matter when they pull your ass over,
Oklahoma
though.
Would be your college football semifinals right now. They're the new top four after Alabama and Miami lost last week. The Tide are now fifth. OK State head coach Mike Gundy tweeting cowboy for life last night after a reported afternoon
meeting. We got to talk about this.
With Tennessee AD John Curry and Mississippi State set to make Penn State offensive coordinator Joe Moorhead its new head coach, replacing Dan Mullen. Moorhead's only other head coaching experience was at Fordham. NBA last night, the Cavaliers beat the Heat 108-97 after LeBron was ejected for the first time in his career in the third quarter for arguing with Kane Fitzgerald. LeBron had 21-12 when he exited. Kevin Love finished with 38 in that win. The Jazz dropped the Nuggets 106-77. The Bucks a 112-87 win in Sacramento, and Washington top Minnesota 92-89. And there is hockey. Let's say this all very slowly.
Radek Foxa hat trick.
Radek Foxa.
Foxa. Radek Foxa.
Foxa. All three goals in Dallas.
Radek Foxa.
3-0 win in Vegas.
No, don't keep doing it. You're just asking for it, man. We already just had that old black thing. We don't need something else. All right. Brian desperately wants to talk about the Mike Gundy situation, so we'll do that next. Oh, we got to talk about this. Sorry, Pete. You can go now.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Today's question comes from number one Pearl Jam fan, Jeff Redmond. And Jeff says, Boise State is building a baseball field for the new Broncos sports baseball team. Should they use blue turf, green turf, or natural grass? Sign up to be an O Rewards member today and start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. It's fast, easy, and free, and only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here's my answer to this. It's not even one of those things. I think what you do is you have the natural grass. You paint it blue. It's a lot of effort, a lot of paint.
It's going to kill the grass.
No, it won't.
You can get some environmentally friendly paint painted blue.
Yeah, and you paint it so you've got the feel of the natural grass, but also the blue.
In today's, for some of these programs, economically sensitive programs, they have to go with the field turf, so they're going to have field turf, and yes, painted blue.
Okay.
That's keeping with the theme there, right?
The blue baseball
but
field.
But maybe you shouldn't. You're killing enough birds, right? I mean, because they dive bomb that bad boy because they think it's water.
Oh, do they?
Yeah,
I never even heard about that
before.
They
had a big problem up there where the birds would dive bomb the turf. Yeah, so don't do that. Don't kill
them. Do they think there's a fish in there or something?
I don't know what the hell they're thinking. Man, they got some crazy birds up that way.
Yeah.
But
I lived in a building when I first moved back here that was all glass. and birds would just fly into it and just die.
Yeah, I have one at the house in Florida. In the bathroom, this bird just hits it all the damn time. Like,
yeah.
What do you think? I'm going to no, I'm not going to say it. I'm going to do the bird. Yeah. Probably not going to. I can't snitch on myself.
Saw something.
The bird. Know this. Your days are numbered.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not even going to tell this story now. I'm going to censor myself.
Yeah, you see?
This is what's going to go.
Mm-hmm. You know, killed the bird?
No. Oh. I saw something on Twitter that almost made me a vegetarian. It was so sad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I don't want to say it.
Was it the...
You know what? It was more emotional than a slaughter.
Oh, okay.
You want to know what it is?
No, I don't want to know. Nope.
It wasn't even disgusting in the sense
that... I don't want to know. No.
It still has affected me days later.
Well, good. Keep it to yourself. I don't want to be affected.
Like, I haven't eaten any red meat since. That's how bad it's been. And I don't know.
You are tone deaf.
No.
I'm fully
listen to everything. I'm doing this deliberately. Something to do with tone deaf.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I almost want to share it with people, though, so they can feel the same sadness that I feel.
Mm.
And I'm not alone in this.
Mm-hmm. People are so mean, cruel.
Yeah, seriously. All right, so Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State. We got to talk about this.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that because he just played Tennessee. This is a leverage move to get more money. Everyone knows he's not leaving Oklahoma State, really. Yeah. Now, Tennessee came a calling back in 2012, I believe it was, and he said no. He's not going anywhere. He's right, a cowpoke for life. This is a leverage play. That's all it was. Thank you, Tennessee, for helping my bank account. He should send them a thank you notice. John Curry, thank you. Thanks for the meeting. Now, Boone is on the line, and he's adding some more zeros to that salary of mine.
Did he, though? Did he get an extension and money?
Come on. That's ridiculous. He's not going anywhere.
Well, that's the thing, though.
He's going to be the highest, as Randy Cross said, he's going to be the highest paid mullet out there.
But if you're T. Boone Pickens, or whoever is paying the salary of Mike Gundy,
mm-hmm.
and you feel you're in tune with the program and Gundy mm-hmm. and what he wants to do, and you probably are thinking the same way. He's probably thinking the same way you are, which mm-hmm. is he's not going anywhere. I'm not going to fall for this garbage. You think he's going to leave here to go and
maybe
sit
he
in that pile of poo in Knoxville?
The fact that he entertained it and he didn't take this job, maybe the next one that comes calling, he takes that one.
Well, that's when you give him the extension, not now.
Well, maybe you cut him off at the pass and give him an extension now.
Nah, let him put in the work for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the way you and I think.
Go ahead to try to fake us out again.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a waste of time that was. Now, this Joe Moorhead move to Mississippi State, you know, he has a progressive offense, and you look at Penn State over the last couple seasons, prior to stepping on campus, they were averaging about 23 points a game. Then it went up to 37 his first year there, and this year they're at 41.6 points a game. So he has really brought some life to that offense, and he runs some of the things that they employ there, or they did employ under Dan Mullins at Mississippi State. So a dude who's much younger than he looks, with all that gray hair and gray beard. He's only 44. So surprise move there. I thought Chad Morris would be in the running, and he was in the running. And we'll see if Arkansas comes a calling for him or Mike Norvell, who's there in Memphis. And, of course, Chad is at SMU. Greg Knox was the interim head coach. He's been with Dan Mullins for a long, long time. Thought maybe he would have a chance at securing the job. But that didn't come to fruition. Shouldn't be surprised because he's African-American. And he'll probably join Dan Mullins now in Gatorland there in Gainesville.
Yeah, you're right. Look a lot older.
He does.
That's interesting. I wonder why that is. Well, the gray hair.
Mm-hmm.
Probably stress from coaching.
You think? Just a little bit?
He'll lose a few.
Mm-hmm.
When he has a beard, he really looks like an old fart. He should probably shave. Always have the beard shaved. Yeah, like that right there. How's that 44?
Right.
How's that only 9 years older than me?
Yeah, he looks like he's 64.
Wow.
44 years old.
That can't be right. Something's up there.
You know, at Wikipedia, they lie.
Something's up there.
Check it, Mike. See how old he is.
Did you go on Wikipedia to find this out?
Man, I'm done with Wikipedia. They burned me.
Well, that's probably
fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice. Don't get fooled again.
Well, I actually, you know what? Here's an article that says 44.
Maybe 44.
Hmm.
Looking like he's 94.
Who's going to go and get his job now?
Is the OC? Interesting question. I'm not so sure.
It's a big job.
Sure they get. Yeah, that's a huge job. You know, maybe they try to pry Chip Lindsey from Auburn. Doubt if he would leave. And that's another. Wasn't Chip? Chip was at Arizona State too, wasn't he?
I'm not sure.
I believe he was there.
What about Matt Canada? Getting him at LSU.
Ah.
Guy knows the area.
Right. There you go.
Not the greatest season this past year.
Now, didn't Matt play at Pitt?
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
All right. Okay. Go play for the enemy.
Well, I'm saying he knows the area. If anything, I mean, that might help out.
Right. I know the area, but he's being paid handsomely there at LSU.
Well, it could be even more.
He jump ship. Maybe would you jump ship?
No, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't either.
Jersey Shore's coming back.
What?
The TV show, yeah. Now
the same characters?
I don't. That's the one thing I don't know. Is it, Mike? Do you know? So I looked this up this morning, and it's so.
As it will reunite most of the stars.
Right. Yeah.
What? Were they actually stars? No, really.
Yeah, I think so. I think I could say they were reality stars. Mm. To me, they were just the pit. And I can't believe that they're celebrating this type of behavior. But are they even interesting anymore? Because the thing that back then all they did was party and say dumb stuff and get drunk.
I never watched an episode, so I couldn't tell you, man.
Because now I know there's one. It's the two girls who were the craziest are now
Who was a little
mothers.
Known girl?
Snooki.
She's a mother now?
She's a mother.
Snooki? Got snooked?
Yeah, a couple times. I think she might be a mother of multiple children. And then there's some real boring people in there too, like that Vinny guy was super boring.
Who was the Situation?
Yeah, the Situation, yeah.
He's coming back?
Didn't he go to the Bing, that guy? I think he might have gone.
To the joint?
I think so.
The Situation had a Situation.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know. To me, you want to start it all over. You can't.
Now, did you watch it?
I saw it, yeah, sure.
You were a big fan?
I wasn't a big fan, no, but I watched it. I knew enough about it.
Okay.
I just.
Those
are the people that represent your state, by the way, there, Mike.
Yeah, there's a trainer.
South Jersey.
Kickboxing, and he says do the Jersey Shore Situation sit-ups. I forget which ones they were, but he always referenced the Situation.
Yeah, people in Jersey,
sit-ups.
Very proud of them.
Really?
Yeah, those are their guys. They've got a couple people. They got Springsteen, they got Bon Jovi, and they've got the Jersey Shore
cast. There you go.
And that's it. You know, and that's it. That's
and affordable taxes.
Not really.
In the worst.
A little bit better.
Worst roads ever.
I was going to say.
You know what we're talking about tomorrow, right? Because you're losing a bet, baby, because he is back.
Oh, stop.
He is back.
It's so boring.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I'm
know.
I'm getting my dinner, too, before you go over to the big time.
Mr. Remember that?
It's going to be all the golfers once Tiger gets back on the course.
Geo and Jones.
Like that.
Talk to you tomorrow, CBS Sports Radio.